This portion of Scripture contains a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ interacting with children. To Jesus, children were very special. And I think if Jesus, he's not going to do this, but I think if Jesus attended Blessed Hope Baptist Church one Sunday, I think you might be surprised where you might find him. I don't think he would feel like he was too good to work in the nursery.
Amen.
I don't think he'd think he had outgrown his need to be a children's church helper or to work down in children's church. I think you might be surprised what he might come riding in here on. He might not be coming in a chariot or a Lincoln, or he may just come on in one of those big red and white buses. I just have a feeling that Jesus, sometime along the course of the service, you'd find him out here where we've designated the Blessed Hope Baptist Church playground. Yes. And that is out the main doors and to the right, okay? If you have any doubt about that, go out there or ask a kid. They'll direct you. Yeah. And that set of steps over there that we created, we didn't realize at the time, but that's the Blessed Hope Baptist Church playground. The little children like that area for some reason, and that's where they congregate. Maybe he would have been over there sitting on the steps after service. We're getting ready to start our school year. And I'm going to tell you something. Of course, it's a lot of work and a lot of busy hours and all those things. But as we had our staff meeting last night, I so enjoy just getting together with the staff and those volunteers and staff members, paid staff members and volunteers that come in, and just for a few minutes, we just kind of take a deep breath and say, all right, during the craziness and busyness of this time, let's take a little bit of time and talk about what this whole thing's about. And you know what it's about? It's about 68 children that are going to walk through that door on Friday morning. And you know what? We need to be everything that we ought to be for them. Can I say this? I'm glad I go to a church where there's a bunch of kids. I am. I'd be so lonely in a church where there wasn't children. I wouldn't have anybody to play with. And so I'd be so lonely in a church that didn't have kids. I think that you go into a church and you find a church that's got a lot of children, you've got a church that's got life. You go into a church that doesn't have any children and you may not be in a dead church, but you are in a dying church. And you know, we can never forget that we have an obligation, folks, during our time to reach out to this younger generation and to do everything we can to influence them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Arthur, Mrs. Arthur, I so appreciated your testimony the other night. Boy, that encouraged my heart. We don't know who we're dealing with. We don't know who we're dealing with. That little girl that's on your bus route, she's semi-faithful on and off. And you know, a lot of times we don't understand the reasons. It's not sometimes that she don't want to be there every week. Sometimes their home life's so topsy-turvy and upside down, she's just doing the best she can. But you know what, folks? We just stay faithful. And in ministering to children, I think God's just going to bless this. Jesus is up in heaven. He's sitting by God the Father. And he's interceding for us. And he's right there at the right hand of God. So I suppose it would be very easy for him to whisper over to the Father and communicate with the Father. As much as I see Jesus enjoying children, I think Jesus probably from time to time just kind of elbows the Father and points down at different churches and say, look at that. You know what? That's the kind of church I'd want to be in. And look at all the kids. I think Jesus just get a kick out of seeing little children come to Sunday school and learn about him. I think Jesus just has a special amount of joy when he sees a young child bow their head and trust him as their Savior. I just see this picture, this little snapshot in the Bible with Jesus and the children, and I just think to myself, I feel like I'm in a place where we're doing some things maybe the way Jesus would do them. And I hope that always happens. I always hope that always goes. You know, folks, and you know what? I don't care what other people do. I mean, I can't do anything about it, so I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about it. But I hear a lot of lip service being said in churches and in religious circles about the need of the next generation. But you know what, folks, there's a difference between lip service and actually going out and doing something about it. And it takes sacrifice, it takes a vision, it takes a heart to say, you know what, we're just not going to talk about what a bad condition this younger generation saying, we're gonna roll up our sleeves, we're gonna put our money where our mouth is, we're gonna take of our tithes and offerings, we're gonna sacrifice, and we're gonna see to it that we have an impact on the next generation. We're gonna do something to reach children and to bring them to Jesus. Now, we're just gonna take a few minutes here tonight, and I just think it'd be fun to go down through here, and I'd like to talk to you about Jesus and children. Jesus loves the little children. All the children in the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Well, that's obvious by reading this. He sure did. Now, let me just give you a few things that I think, if we had a chance and Jesus would come here and we had a chance to interview him or talk to him, and we asked him, hey, tell us a little bit about children. I think just from this story, we could see maybe some of the things that he'd mentioned. Number one, I think Jesus never forgot what it was like to be a child. Jesus never forgot what it was like to be a child. Isn't that a blessing? You know, Jesus was born of a virgin as a little baby. Now, he could have come down as a 33-year-old man on a chariot of gold and landed at the base of Golgotha Hill and marched up the hill and died for our sins, but he didn't. The Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. Yet without sin. So everything short of sin that a human's ever felt, Jesus felt that. And that means he knows what it's like. If you're a little child here today and you're 3 years old, Jesus knows what it's like to be 3 years old. If you're 4 years old, Jesus knows what it's like to be 4 years old. If you're 5 years old, Jesus knows what it's like to be 5 years old. And just put your age in there. Jesus knows, children, what it's like to be your age. He knows the frustrations that you feel. He knows that the fears that you have. He knows a lot. You know, Jesus wasn't raised in a perfect home. He didn't have perfect parents. He was raised in a poor home. I don't think he ever forgot that. Absolutely. Jesus, you find him out walking the streets, and you know what you see him doing? You see him spend a lot of time with a lot of poor people.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Jesus' mom and dad didn't have much. You wouldn't have had much either if right after your when the years you should be establishing a home and establishing a business and building some security, if all of a sudden you've got to grab your child and your wife and run to a foreign country and live for a while. And then you've got to sneak back over when God gives you permission and you can't even go back to your hometown. You've got to move to a place in Nazareth, and then you've got to kind of do the best you can incognito because they're still hunting your child, and that's what was happening.
Yes.
You ever thought what Jesus felt like when Mary said, now Jesus, I know you don't understand everything yet, but honey, listen, if you see Roman soldiers coming to town, you need to run in. And maybe she even had a special place for him to go and hide. You think that happened? You think Jesus wasn't at times, didn't experience the same feelings that our children experience?
Sure he did.
The Bible says he increased in wisdom.
Yes.
When he took the form of flesh, he took the limitations of our humanity and chose to have to learn as a child would learn and grow as a child would grow.
Yes, he did.
If he had all wisdom when he was born in the manger, he wouldn't have had to increase in wisdom. Now, I'm saying all this because I want you to, I think when Jesus saw the children, he had seen a little four-year-old boy, and he saw him over there, and maybe he was a little bashful, a little shy. Maybe he saw some insecurities in him, and he said, I remember what it was like to be a child.
Sure.
And folks, let me say this. All of us would be blessed and helped. All of us would be bettered if we would take time every once in a while to stop and look and remember what it was like to be a child.
Amen.
Children are children. They're not adults. Okay, and teenagers, by the way, you would show a great deal of marked maturity if you could stop every once in a while, look at a child and say, I remember what it's like to be that age.
Right.
Instead of running around picking on them, think about what it was like. Think of how much it would have meant to you for some teenager to treat you with kindness and be a blessing to you and spend a few minutes with you. It would have just changed your life. It would have made your day.
Amen.
You know, I watch kids grow up, and I'm just going to say this. I'm not picking on anybody. You got to decide where you're at, teenager. But I watch this happen, and I've watched this for a year. I'm a student of mankind. But you see kids grow up, and they enjoy children because they're one of them. then they get to that in-between time, and they're trying to be so adult that they're mean to children a lot of times and cruel to children. They don't want to be around children. You know what? Because they're trying to escape their childhood, and they're trying to overcome that. So they see that as something bad. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with children. Take some time to enjoy kids. I'm glad a lot of our kids ride church buses. It keeps your heart tender towards children. I like to see them involved in the nursery, working in children's church ministries in here and helping with children. You know, stop every once in a while. You say, well, I get frustrated with them. Well, you know what? Somebody used to get frustrated with you.
Amen.
Amen. Go check your mom's head. Unless she's colored it lately. You caused most of that. And so just take time every once in a while. And I think when Jesus saw children, he remembered. I thank God that God sent us the Son of God to die for our sin. And he sent him as an infant baby in a manger. And there's no child here today that can't get on their knees and pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't know if you, for sure or not if you know how I feel. And Jesus says from heaven, I do, I do. I know what it's like to be your age. I know what it's like to struggle. And I know what it's like to go through some of the problems that happen and some of the things you have to go through as you're growing up. I think Jesus never forgot what it was like to be a child. And number two, Jesus always took time for children. And we read this in the story here. Jesus was much displeased. The disciples were trying to shoo these children away, and Jesus rebuked them. We see in the first 12 verses of this chapter that Jesus was in the middle of teaching, and yet he stopped and took the time to spend a few minutes with children.
Yes, he did.
You know, folks, don't get so busy. Moms, Dad, I know there's a ton to do. And you know what? There's times where you just have to say, son or daughter, listen, I've got to have this time. And I understand that. But listen, don't get into a mindset where what you've got to do is so important that that child and what he's trying to tell you is just a bother. Take the time. Take the time for children. Jesus took time for little children. He stopped in the middle of all he had to do. He was healing the sick. He was sharing great biblical principles. He was a lot of times raising the dead. He was doing all kinds of miracles. But you know what he saw as also important? Spending time with little children. He took the time for little children. Listen to me. You want to be a blessing to the young people around here? Then stop and take time with them. Stop and take time. I plead with you. I plead with you, the older generation. Listen, slow down, stop, and take time for the kids.
That's right. Amen.
Take time for the kids. Single two or three of them out and just decide that you're going to just kind of secretly, spiritually adopt them. Keep tabs on them. When they come through that door, they come reckoning in on a bus, and they come through the door, go over there and squeeze their hand. Ladies, find some little girl and give her a big hug. Say, you don't, and just look her in the eye and say, you don't understand this, and I know I don't know you real well, but I can't tell you what a pleasure it is and what joy it brings me every time on Sunday when I see you come to church. Folks, listen to me. A lot of times, that's make or break. That's the big difference. They're going to face the temptations of Satan. They're going to have the pulls of the world. And yet they're going to say, you know what, I got to show up to church Sunday because Mrs. So-and-so, she's going to be looking for me. Brother So-and-so is going to be looking for me. It'd break his heart for me not to be in church. Listen, you say, well, that's not the best reason to go. Look, folks, there's a lot of us that went to a church for a long time for not the best of reasons.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes that's the difference. Now, love them. Take the time for them. Get down on your knees every once in a while and get down to the other level. Take the time for them. They're not a bother. They're a blessing. Amen. And I appreciate kids. Jesus showed me in this story that I'm supposed to take the time for little children. That's a blessing. Number three, Jesus loved to hold the little children.
Yes, he did.
He loved to hold the little children. I'm going to say some things, and I pray that you'd take it all in the sense that it ought to be taken. This deal that happened to this little girl over in Paris, Illinois. I think it was Paris, Illinois. Is that right? This little girl was kidnapped and abused and stabbed and left for dead. It was where?
I know it was in Illinois.
Oh, it's in Illinois. Okay, those kind of stories, folks, are all too common. I'm so sick of perverts.
Amen.
And I mean this. I'm so sick of perverts. By the way, young men, you better stay away from that wrong part of the internet. You better stay from the wrong kind of stories. Because I'm going to tell you something, it'll turn you into that type of a person. Oh, no, it won't. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You get to feeding on that stuff, and one of these days you'll do something so unthinkable and something you'd never thought you would ever do in your life. There has never, I guarantee you talk to the police, you talk to those people that deal with this every day of their life, there has never, ever, I've never seen one case, never talked to one individual that didn't find this true, where there wasn't a strong connection between pornography and child abuse.
Absolutely.
It's there. It's there. And I can't believe that we protect that nonsense under the guise of freedom of speech. That is such a misuse of the Constitution of the United States that it's laughable. It's laughable. It's sad. And I know that we've got that going on in communities. And I know we've got that going on. But I'm going to tell you something. Children need to be touched and children need to be held. Children need to feel physical contact. If we'd have seen this and you'd have seen this, Jesus said he picked them up in his arms and held them. Would anybody here have looked over and thought, what is he, a pervert? Would you have thought that of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid what's happened, folks, is we've got this horrible situation going out there. And if we're not careful, it's going to scare us off completely because we're so worried. But you know what? Kids need, listen, they need to have their hair tousled. They need every once in a while for you to reach down and give them. And I'm talking about appropriateness. You know that I'm talking about appropriateness. I can't believe that America, here's what I'm afraid of. We've got a large segment of America that are perverts. And we've also got a large segment of America that are just perverted in their mind. They can't see anything without thinking the worst of it. Mamas and daddies, let me start with you. Your kids need your physical contact. They need your daddy. Listen to me. Daddy, listen to me. So I've just never been that time. I'm just kind of cold. I'm not a touchy. Well, then get right with God. There's an altar up here. Are you a Christian? That means Christ-like. Jesus Christ held these children. They weren't even his, and he held them. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you by raising girls. You listen to me, and you're going to just take this. You can believe it or you can not believe it. But more girls, most teenage girls that end up getting in trouble and go out and seek the wrong time of physical affection and physical relationship with young men, if you'll look, they've got a daddy in the home that does not physically show them that they are loved. And again, I'm talking about appropriate. I'm talking about right. I'm talking about from their time they're little to the time, I don't care. They're never going to get too old for a hug. They're never going to get too old for a kiss. They're not getting, and I don't care, mamas, I don't care if that boy squirms and goes, ew, and gross and everything else. You grab him and you squeeze him anyway. If you have to chase him down, smooch him all over his face, and he'll swear he hates it, but he loves it. You know why? Because it puts something inside of them right here. I'm loved by my mama. I'm loved by my daddy. My mama, she may embarrass me at times, but she loves me. She's not ashamed of it. She'll hug me and smooch me and kiss me in front of anybody, even when I don't want her to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Well, okay, bring them here. Well, that's close enough. Hi, kids. Nice to see you. See what I'm saying here? And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't care. Let the perverts, and I'm ashamed for what's happening. But you know what? Sometimes I think the ones that want to criticize the perverts, we've become so perverted in our minds that we can't see something wholesome and decent and right, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with that without having some wicked thought about it. That needs to be said. Sometimes, folks, the pendulum swings way over here, and sometimes it swings way over here, and sometimes we need to get back to where the scriptures are, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, let me tell you something. You need to use sense in this day and age. You need to use caution this day and age. You do need to use some sense. But I'm telling you something. I tell you what. Those kids, there's nothing wrong with putting a hand on their head, putting a hand on their shoulder, every once in a while reaching down and holding their hand and praying with them or talking to them. They need that. They need that, and there's nothing wrong with it. Amen, Brother Jerry. I guess Jesus did it. Maybe I ought to start doing it. Nothing wrong with that kind of thing. And we've gotten so standoffish and so nuts about this stuff that I think that there's a lot of kids being raised and they don't know what it, they've missed out on that. Listen, I just was raised in a kissy, huggy family. I went to grandma's. Grandma's 60-year-old lips was going to come chasing me down, man, with eyes. I mean, you know what? Grandpa, give me a smooch and a hug, and I'm going to tell you something. Thank God. There's a sense of security that comes from all of that. And I know a lot of that. That needs to happen in family. You do got to be careful outside the bounds of your own family. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we got a preacher that loves kids. I'm glad we got a preacher that's not afraid to tousle their head. And I'm glad we got a preacher that's not afraid to give a little kid a hug every once in a while if he feels like they need him. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you what, praise God. Jesus loved to hold the little children and put them in their arms. And folks, I want you to really think about that. I'm telling you, there is a sense of security that a child has when he's in a home where there is opened love, verbal love, physical love, and there is a big black hole in the heart of a kid that doesn't have that. And a lot of times they head out in the wrong places looking for that because it's just as normal and natural a thing that they need to have. So daddies, listen, I had three little girls, and I'm going to tell you what, I love to hold them. I love getting my recliner and hold them up on my chest, and they fall asleep, and so I didn't have anything else to do, so I'd fall asleep. Amen. I'm telling you what, it was a blessing. It's a little harder to do now, but... Amen, I better move on. My daughters are saying it's... Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. That's all right. You can say you don't like it, but you know what? You need it. Yes. And that's good stuff. All right. I hope you've taken that in the vein of thought that it needed to be said. And I started out saying what I did, bringing out this horrid situation, because there is wrong kind. Yes, sir. There's a wrong kind of touch. And you know what? We do have to be careful in this day and age. Boy, it'd be nice to think you could come to church in the family of God, have Christian people that could tussle your kid's head or reach down and hold their hand and walk them to class. And you know what? It's Christian. It's just Christian love. And I think that's pretty neat. Jesus blessed the children. We'll be finished then. I like this. I don't know what exactly all that this entailed. This was a Hebrew custom. It was the act of a father. And a father a lot of times would bring his children over and lay his hands on them and bless them and put a blessing upon them. And so it was a fatherly act. But Jesus here blessed the children. He held them in his arms. He blessed them. I don't know what he said when he blessed them. He said something to them. Maybe he prayed for them. I like doing that. Do you ever do that? Sunday school teacher, do you ever do that with one of your children in your class, when they come up to you before class or after class and start telling you about a heartache or situation or a boo-boo? Well, you know what would be a sweet memory for them to have as your Sunday school teacher? Oh my goodness, well that's horrible. Your puppy's sick? Let's pray and just hold them up close to you and just have a word of prayer for that puppy. Wouldn't you? Folks, this is big time stuff. I'm telling you, it's big time stuff. I mean, we preach on soul winning, we preach on holiness, and we preach on separation, we preach on a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you, this is as big as any of the things we preach on around here. I don't know, maybe Jesus picked one up in his arms, it was neat. You know, it's kind of an advantage being God. He didn't even have to ask their name, you know. Your name's so-and-so. How'd you know? Put his hand on their head and say, and maybe said, listen, can I pray for you? And just pray, oh, God in heaven, long after I'm gone, long after I've finished on Calvary's cross what I've come to do, this little child's going to grow and I want him to understand who I am and how I knew his name. Lord, keep the devil away from this little kid. Love him and watch over him. Love her and watch over him. Bless her. I think probably these kids remembered this. Listen, I can imagine some of these kids when their grandparents telling their grandchildren, you know what, one time when I was a little girl, Jesus picked me up and Jesus prayed for me. I just think that's a blessing, you know. pray for them, pray with them. Maybe he blessed them. Maybe he prayed for them. Maybe not. Maybe he just whispered something in their ear. Maybe he just shared with them an expression of love or some little simple piece of godly wisdom. You know, folks, if we'd just be Holy Spirit led and we'd watch children and see children and be sensitive with the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot of times you can see a child that just hangs back off the crowd. Sometimes they just need somebody to encourage them. You know, watch that one that doesn't, that you can tell by their mannerisms and everything else, that they don't feel like they're special. And go over there and get down and say, hey, let me introduce myself. I've watched you. I'm going to tell you something. You may not understand this, but you are so special. You're special to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're special to Pastor Ross. You're special to me. And you know what? Most of all, you're special to Jesus. Folks, how much does that cost? Does that cost you a lot of money? Is that pretty expensive? I mean, do you understand how valuable that is? You know, are you listening to me? I'm talking about the handful that want to grumble and gripe about these kids around here, and they tore this up. You understand what I'm saying, that these kids are pretty valuable around here? Amen. That's a blessing. I don't know what he said to him. I don't know what, but I think he was, of course, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. He had the love, pure love of the Father in him. And you know what? Whatever he said, it was just right.
Yes.
And he whispered some things in their ear, and he gave them some encouragement. And folks, listen, it doesn't cost anything, but it is so big. We're getting ready to start school. I talked to our monitors last night. Monitors, listen to me. You can absolutely. You say, well, all I do is answer. No. You can make a difference in a young person's life.
Absolutely.
You can make a difference in a young person's life. Listen, would you do me a favor? And I know part of your job is to walk around and make sure that rules are enforced. We want to do that. But just don't do just that. What would be wrong with telling that girl, boy, I like that skirt. That's such a pretty skirt. What would be wrong with telling that young man, hey, I seen what you picked that piece of paper. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so proud of you. You know, for your age, you have such unbelievable character. I mean, most adults don't do something like that. You know what? They'll never pass up another piece of paper in their life. I mean, honestly, folks, listen to me. We just seem to be experts at the negative and lousy at the positive. And much more is accomplished in a young person's life with positive reinforcements and positive motivations. And the negative has to come. We understand the Bible, book of Proverbs. Folks, don't be a liberal. Don't cross out the book of Proverbs and the verses on reproof and the rod. They're there, and they need to be implemented. But I'm going to tell you something. They're well nigh worthless if you don't do the other end. They are. And they're necessary, but they're not going to mean anything to that kid if you don't do the other end. Because you know what is bad about reproof from a daddy or a mom? You know what's hurtful about a reproof, a rod, or a spanking from a mommy and daddy? It's not that. It's that the person who has loved you more than anyone else and tells you all the time, you have disappointed them, you have broken their heart. That's what hurts.
Yes.
Some of these kids are looking at me like, uh-uh. Brother Jerry, you need to remember what it is to be a kid. It is. It's the broken fellowship. It is. Yes, it is. A young person don't keep crying in their room long after they should be done crying because of the physical pain. They're crying because, you know what? They know that they've broken mom and dad's heart, and they're not going to be right till mom and dad come in and put their arm around them and say, listen, daddy loves you, and I had to do what I had to do, but I want you to tell you, you're still my buddy. You're still my girl. And you always will be. And I love you more than anything else in the world. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That'll do more than 100 lashings will ever do. It will. And you got to do what you got to do. And we got to do things biblical. But I'm just telling you something, folks. Isn't it great to have a Savior that said, hey, let me show you something. When it comes to kids, you can't do too much. And they're important. Take the time for them. Treat them with respect. Treat them with dignity. Treat them with love. Speak kind words to them. Take time for them. Love them. Love on them. They need love. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little photograph in the Bible. Boy, what a neat thing. So many times I wish I could paint. I wish I was a painter. There's certain little photographs that I see, little paintings, little moments in time that happen. I'd love to be able to do this. Maybe it shouldn't be painted. We don't know what Jesus looked like. Maybe it can't. Maybe, I don't know. But boy, I love to see that portrait in my imagination. Of you holding a little boy or a little girl, or you down on one knee and the children are surrounding you and two or three crowded up on your lap, and the big smile on your face. And maybe a glance over to the disciples, as if to say, are you watching this? Are you seeing this? I think you missed heaven. I think there wasn't a moment of a day that came by that you didn't miss heaven and miss the Father. And maybe that few minutes here and there when you were with the children, that gave you just a little taste of being back home. Lord, I pray, dear God, we've got a lot going on around here, and we have a huge responsibility with all of the Sunday school classes and the children's ministries, master's club just a few weeks from starting up, school getting ready to start. Lord, woe unto us if we don't do right by this next generation. Now, God, we need to be filled with your Spirit. We need to be Christ-like in this matter of reaching down and taking time for these kids and remembering, Lord, what it's like to be a child and to working with children and to being involved with children. Lord, it's time-consuming and it zaps your energy, and kids are high maintenance, but boy, I don't know of anything better we can do with our time than to contribute to the next generation. So bless, Lord, whatever the Holy Spirit's done in our hearts, I pray, Lord, it's for good and for God. It will help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray.